thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Yes, everybody does have a story, whether you're in here tonight and you're 6 or 16 or 76, you have a story. I love stories. And we're going to actually look to the screen in a second and we're going to watch a short snippet from the TV series. It was actually an American series called The Chosen. It wasn't on our TVs here, but you had to watch it online. And it's a small clip from The Chosen. And The Chosen was a historical program all about the life and times of Jesus. It's fascinating. I loved it. So look to the screen and we're going to watch this.
It's not you. There's quite a lot going on right now. So it's good to have you back.
I don't know what to say.
I don't require much.
I'm so ashamed. You redeemed me and I just threw it all away.
Well, that's not much of a redemption if it can be lost in a day, is it?
I owe you everything. But I just don't think I can do it.
Do what?
Live up to it. Repay you. How could I leave? How could I go back to the place I was? And I didn't even come back on my own. They had to come get me. I just can't live up to it.
Well, that's true. But you don't have to. I just want your heart. The Father just wants your heart. Give us that, which you already have. And the rest will come in time. Did you really think that you'd never struggle or sin again? I know how painful that moment was for you.
I shouldn't.
Someday. But not here.
I'm just so sorry.
Look up.
I can't.
You can. Look at me. I forgive you. It's over.
How beautiful was that? Beautiful. The portrayal of how they portrayed Jesus' character there was just beautiful. Why, Lindsay, did you show a 3-minute clip from The Chosen? Well, the first time I seen that clip, I looked at the lady character and she was me quite a few years ago. And I cried so hard when I seen that clip because you know when something resounds within you. I was a young lady. I was in my late 20s. I loved Jesus. I was brought up in a Christian home, went to Sunday school, gave my life to Jesus as a wee girl. Just got married in my late 20s. Was working, good job with good friends. Helped with the youth group in my wee Pentecostal church I went to in Ballykeel. Things were really good. But then things turned very sour very quickly. And before I knew it, by 30, I was divorced. Me, brought up in a Christian home, divorced. That wasn't really heard of in our circles. But if you had known me at that time, you would have thought, oh, wee Lindsay, isn't she doing that well? for what she's went through and the loss. She's doing that well because I had a great friendship circle and church circle, church family. I had great support through the day. I had great support. But some of yous in here might know what I'm going to say next. Do you see, when you go home at night, when you go home at night and you go into your room and you lie down, and I had to go back to mommy's, and even that's not natural. Birds don't return to their nest. You leave the nest, a family nest, you don't return. It's not natural. I was lying in bed at Minnie's the night, and the battle started. You weren't enough. It was constant. It was constant. I couldn't sleep. You weren't enough. You will never be enough. You're obviously not lovely. You're obviously not pretty. You're obviously not lovable. And that's why you're now on your own. It was constant. And then if it wasn't that, it was the guilt. You are a youth leader, not full-time, Sunday youth leader. And you're trying to teach young people about love and forgiveness and commitment and the covenant. And you're divorced. You're a complete joke. And do you know some folks? Shame silences you. It's a tool from the devil. It silences you. You keep your head down and you keep your mouth shut and you step back. You are an embarrassment. So one night I was lying in bed and I said it out loud. I went, enough. I will be enough. And like Pastor Paul said last night, you're either on the broad road or you're on the narrow road. And I took my feet off the narrow road and I went onto the broad. And I went, I will be enough and I will find love. I will not feel like this anymore. So I went down all the wrong avenues to try and get somebody to love me. And did it bring me happiness and joy and contentment? No, it did not. I'll tell you that now. I was worse than I ever was. And nobody knew, because that's what sin does. Just like Eve in the garden. Where are you, Eve? Silence. I had gone rogue. I had gone quiet. I said I was going to a Pentecostal church. They were my family. And then I didn't want to go anymore. So about four Sundays in a row, I taught mommy I was going. I got dressed in the morning, Bible under my arm, and I got into the car, and I would have drove around Ballymena until the service was over. So I lied to her, caused her enough heartache, and I just want to pretend something's going okay. So I lied for about four Sundays. You always get snared on. You always get snared on. And a man stopped mommy in Ballymena one day and went, see you day. We miss Lindsay so much. They were my family. Of course they missed me. Pastor Paul would miss you if you weren't here. We miss Lindsay so much, and she's not returning our calls. Wasn't text messages then. Just tell her we love her. Now, Mommy didn't say anything to me until the next Sunday. Even in my 30s, your mommy can put the fear of the living Lord in you. And you know when they get across, but they slow everything down. Just slows up, really calm and cool, but completely calculated. And I got ready, and she just went, do you see? If I hear, you are not on a seat in Ballykill this week. That's all I got. I'm straight into the Clio, and I was in church. Now, can I highlight something? Just like the lady in the clip that you heard, she said, but I didn't even want to come back on my own efforts. I didn't want to go to church. Let's not say Lindsay felt she needed to sort out the places that she needed to sort out in her life. No, I didn't want to go. I only want to please my mommy. End of story. So let's not say, and the Lord drew me back. No, he didn't. I want to please my mommy. And then that Sunday, it was a guest speaker. I'm saying that because, just to let you know, he knew nothing about my life. His name was Stuart. And that Sunday, Stuart read a wee verse from Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The word downcast. He said, are you sitting in here today? It was like a big finger. You know the big finger. He said, are you sitting in here today and you're so riddled with guilt and shame that you can't lift your head? He said, do you feel as if you're just carrying a big, heavy sack of guilt on your back? He said, if only you would lift your head, you would see that Jesus has never, ever left you. He said, but guilt keeps your head down, but he wants to be the lifter of your head. And he used another word, and it was, I want you to say today, can you say today, nevertheless, I will trust in you. Well, what does nevertheless mean? It means you did this, you did that, you did the other, but let's put it aside. Nevertheless, let's put it aside. I will trust in you. And he said, come up if you want that big, heavy sack of sin to be lifted and you want Jesus to change your life. And I got up. I got up. And my mommy wasn't pulling at me. She wasn't there. And I got up and I walked to the front. And as I stood, I don't even know if there was anybody beside me. And I'll be honest, I did not hear a word that that man prayed over me, because I just stood and I wept. And as I wept, the sin just felt heavier and the shame felt heavier. And I went down onto my knees and I just sat there, and I couldn't have cared less who was watching me. And I just sat there and I cried and I cried. By this time, the worship band, they were playing in the background, and they were actually lifting the collection by this time. This tells you how long I was on the floor for, just sitting there. And I heard a whisper into my ear. There's nobody near me, and it was, I love you. Three times. I love you. Oh. Now, there was plenty the Lord could have said standing over the top of me. There was plenty he would be very much entitled to say standing over the top of me. But he spoke the words that I needed. He spoke the words that I needed. I needed to be loved. And it definitely wasn't by anything the world's standards were going to offer me. I love you. And you know what it was like? It was like I was being defrosted. I just felt my body get lovely and warm. Just warm. And I didn't feel my shoulders heavy. That's just like I was being defrosted. Life was coming back into my... I just felt warm. The service was over by this stage. People had left. A lady came and she knelt down beside me. She didn't speak, she just sat there. Woman know the crack, you know, they know. She just sat there. And a man, no disrespect, he came over and he says, right, let's get her up. We're going. We need to log up. We need to log. He didn't say we need to log up, he just says, right, let's get her up, we're going. Firmly, but lovingly, she said, no. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. She stays. We stayed. We stayed. And do you want to know something? See, tonight, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And you know what he comes to do? He comes to rebuild. And he comes to restore. And he comes to resuscitate the things you think are dead. But they're not. Jesus is here. Now, I would love to finish off by saying, and then I got off the floor and I never sinned again. And I was never tempted again. And I never lied again. But that would be a lie. But things were different. Because I now knew whose I was. Whose I was. I knew that I was enough. I knew that I was chosen. I knew that the blood of Jesus had forgiven me for time and eternity. And just like we've seen up there, I just realised he just wants my heart. And he got it. So thank you very much.
Folks, you're so welcome. It's lovely to see so many faces in this evening, some who we don't know, we've never seen before. You are so, so welcome. This is the second night of our New Beginnings mission, and we hope and pray that everything that is said tonight and done, that you will be blessed. That's, we want you to enjoy your time here, but we also want you to really listen to what God will have to say to you through the testimony already, and I have no doubt that he has spoken to to many hearts already and through the singing and even our worship as well. And also as we bring a short closing word this evening, it's just fantastic to be here this evening. It's such a privilege. It's such a privilege to bring God's word to you this evening. Funny, the other day the police came to our door and they asked me, are you familiar with the letters HB? I said, I'm not. How about LS? I said, nope. What about JD? Then I said, hang on a minute. Am I a suspect or something? They said, no, these are just initial inquiries. that was like the afterburner. Took a wee second for a few of you. The other day, Robert asked the TV evangelist to pray for his hearing. After 3 minutes of violent shaking and trying to push him over backwards, the preacher asked, how is your hearing? Robert replied, I don't know. It doesn't take place until Tuesday at the courthouse. Folks, I always love a little title. And some of you might actually know this young man in this photograph. He's one of the usual suspects. You did see him up here earlier, Mark Miller. Let the ref make the call. Maybe you do or maybe you don't know that our very own Mark Miller is a high-ranking referee. And apparently the word on the street is that he takes no nonsense. Would that be right, Mark? Absolutely, I would have thought so. A recent campaign was launched to highlight a growing problem within the sport of football. I know there's a few footballers here tonight. And so this campaign began because of the abusive behaviour towards match officials. And it says this, here's just a collage of a couple of wee photographs. And it says this, catch yourself on, let the ref make the call. Most of us, I'm sure, have played sports at some time in our lives. And I know for a fact that there are some of you still playing sports, like walking football, Willie Norris. Although some people wouldn't actually call that a sport. Not right, Mark? You see, every type of sport needs a referee. Otherwise, there'd be total bedlam. For everyone believes that they're right, and everyone else is wrong. And you know what? That's exactly the same in life. It's the root of most of our problems in society today. Thus, we all need a ref. Otherwise, it would be a free for all. So we all need to allow the ref to make the call. That's why we have a legal system with laws that need to be kept. That's why we have judges and jurors to rule and to make decisions. That's why we have policing with its policies and its procedures that are in place for the betterment of society and, in fact, for our own safety as individuals and our families as well. Now, I appreciate that they don't always get it right. But let's be honest, things would be 100 times worse if we didn't have these systems in place. But if we look even beyond our own town and our own towns and cities within our own wee country, and let's consider the world for a moment and who ultimately is the ref that makes the call globally. Well, I can tell you who it's not. It's not the G7 or the G8 or the G20 or the G whatever group of international countries and their respective governments, even though they think that they are the ones who are making the call. Nor is it the world's billionaires who think that they can pull the strings of people in power and manipulate them for their own sordid gain. Neither is it the WHO, which is the World Health Organization, or the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, who are the arbitrators over the world's affairs. You see, the Bible, and it's been quoted a number of times already this evening, the Bible is very clear who has the ultimate say and who rules and reigns supreme over all the world. And it should be no surprise that it's the one who made the world and us, you and me, and all that's in it in the first place, that God Almighty is the divine creator and the supreme ruler. He is the one who is the ultimate referee in and over all things. It's the Lord God Almighty, the great creator God, who has the final say, whether we think it or not, and whether we like it or not. And God's infallible word backs this up by saying, for example, we read in Colossians in the New Testament, "For by him all things were created, that are in earth and that are on the earth, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." In fact, because man, or mankind to be more precise, think they know it all and think they are in control of their own destiny, the Bible goes even further and it states this. It states, "He who sits in heaven," or the heavens, "laughs." The Bible says that God laughs at the wicked. Now, I'm not sure what concept or understanding or vision or image that you might have of God, because we all perhaps have a different concept depending on our backgrounds, our upbringings, or whatever that has molded and shaped our own thinking and our own perspective. But it might be strange for me to say to you and for me to read out to you what the Bible says, that God actually laughs. He does. Now, I don't think that it's a belly laugh, if you follow me. It's not a laugh because someone says something funny, although I do believe that God has a sense of humor. Because if we are created in his image, which the Bible says we are, and if we have a sense of humor, or in my case, if we think we have a sense of humor, excuse me, well, then we're made in God's image. But what the Bible is actually saying here is something different. It's saying that it's a laugh of derision. It's a laugh. God actually laughs out of contempt for man. It's a laugh of mockery and ridicule. And you may say to me, "Well, Paul, that's strange that you say that. Why is that?" you may ask. It's because our Creator God, as the supreme architect and ultimate ruler over all the earth, as the ref who is the one who makes the call, God knows how puny and insignificant and weak we are as mere mortals. Lindsay touched on that tonight. The video clip from The Chosen touched on that. That is just two examples, and I'm sure you will agree with me that more often we feel weak and helpless and vulnerable than we do feeling strong and what have you. And so as the ref, he is the one who makes the final call. You see, he knows our end. He knows before it happens what's going to come to us, what's going to come to mankind. He knows our fate. He knows our final destination. He knows what man is like in our pomp and our pride. You see, he is the ref who makes the ultimate call of where we will all spend eternity. And that call is based on what we believe and how we behave. Another verse from the Bible says this, to back up what we are saying tonight. It says this: "The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth." Perhaps that's like Old Testament language, but I think you get the drift, that the wicked people in society, and there's plenty of them today, are always having a go at the just or the righteous or the good people who are downtrodden. And the Bible then says this, that the Lord laughs at him, that's the wicked, not the just, the Lord laughs at the wicked person, for he sees that his day is coming. In other words, he sees what his outcome is going to be. For a day is coming, folks, believe me, and it's sooner perhaps than we realize, when we must one day give an account to the supreme ruler, the referee, the supreme judge of how we have treated him and his laws. And we will be judged according to the record of what we have said and what we have done, each and every one of us, and I'm no different, of how we have treated people, of how we have treated God, of how we have treated his grace. The girls were singing there about his grace and how we have treated his offer of forgiveness from the heart of Jesus, who, of course, is the Savior of the world. And once we recognize and we realize that our Creator God, the God Almighty who made the world and us in it, when we realize that he is ultimately in control over the affairs of man and he has the final say in what will happen to you and to me. Because he is the highest authority. He has the final word in everything. And when we see this and when we understand it, then we see things through a different lens. We will see that life is temporal. We will see that life is fleeting. I said last night that in 5 weeks' time, our youngest daughter is getting married down in Dublin. Our youngest daughter of three, can we believe that our baby's getting married? Can we believe it's been a blink of an eye that we've got five grandchildren and the oldest grandchild is 13 years of age and I'm married to a young granny? You thought I was going to say an old granny, didn't you? See, life is temporal. Life is fleeting. And what we do in this life affects what will happen in the next life. Arguably, one of the wisest people ever to have lived said this. It's another quote from the Bible, because we believe that the Bible is the handbook for life. It's the owner's manual, if you like. It's when you buy a car or you buy a machine or you buy any piece of equipment, you will get some instructions. Sometimes we call them destructions because we can't actually work them out. But the handbook is the Bible is our handbook for life. And we're told here, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Can I say this evening, whether you are a Christian tonight, whether you are a Christian or whether you're a non-Christian, what does that mean? Well, you know, quite often people will call themselves in this country a Christian, and they're no more Christian than my neighbor's cat. A Christian is one who is born again of the Spirit of God, who one day decided to follow Jesus as their Savior, who has turned their life around. And so whether you're a Christian tonight or whether you're not a Christian, we need to learn to number our days. We need to learn to apply our heart to wisdom. And so a question for you, just as I draw this to a close and try and land this message. Are we living our lives knowing that what we say and what we do will impact eternity? Friends, let's be wise. Let's be very wise. Let's catch ourselves on. That's a good Northern Irish one, isn't it? Let's catch ourselves on, for we can be very sure that the Lord God Almighty is the ultimate ref, who will make the ultimate call on what our ultimate destination will be. Lindsay referred to it during her testimony about the message that was brought last night, and it was about the broad and the narrow road. It's a picture of life. And every one of us here tonight, irrespective of who we are, what we look like, what we've done, where we've come from, where we're going, we're actually on one of either two roads. We're either on what the Bible calls the narrow road or the broad road of life. And the broad road is that road where there are many, many people on it. And the broad road signifies those who have never yet given their hearts and their lives to follow Jesus. And the narrow road is a minority. And if you're a Christian tonight, you're in the minority in society. You're probably in the minority in your workplace or your school. It's fantastic that some of our young people took these invites and gave them to every classmate and school and teacher. Well done. But every one of us, young and old, are on one of two roads. And we will end up in one of two destinies. And we have one of two choices to make. And so Christian and non-Christian alike are follower of Jesus or follower of self. Because let's be honest, and I don't make any apologies in saying this, if you're not following Jesus, you're following and satisfying yourself. So let's be smart tonight. Let's apply our heart to wisdom. Let's be smart. Let's catch ourselves on. And let's live our lives 100% for Jesus from tonight onwards, as if our lives depended on it, which of course it does. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.